Hello and welcome back to Frontline Fridays, where we explore the hearts and minds of the leaders who elevate the retail and hospitality frontlines to greatness. What's their secret sauce? We are here to find out. This show is brought to you by Ubik, the AI-powered mobile app that gives frontline teams the performance tools they need to communicate, learn, and work right in the palm of their hand. And I'm Ron Thurston, your guide on this journey and the host of the show. And today I'm very excited to introduce the Frontline Fridays audience to someone that I've known for over, I guess, right at 10 years. And we know each other because I hired him at Bonobos a decade ago as the director of visual merchandising to help create the vision for the brand. And that's one that still stands today. So I want to introduce you to Brandon Lee, a dynamic creative leader specializing in captivating physical experiences and seamless shopping environments, with a 20-year career in visual merchandising for brands including Ralph Lauren, Bonobos, Gap, Moose Knuckles, and Brooks Brothers. And early last year, Brandon launched his own venture, Brandon Lee Designs, diving into the cannabis industry with clients like Good Day Farm and Rove. And his expertise now also spans to set styling in the furniture industry and fabrication services. As retail creativity evolves, Brandon aims to inspire and lead, crafting unforgettable brand moments, and of course, having a lot of fun along the way. So welcome, Brandon. I'm very happy that you're on the show with me today.
Same here. Thanks for having me. That was quite the intro.
Be ready for it as your career continues to explode. So I want to just catch everyone up. So almost exactly 10 years ago, in a couple of months, I joined Bonobos as the head of stores. And even though they didn't really have any stores, you know, to really create what this vision for an entirely new concept in retail was, and one that they still use here, you know, 10 years later. And as we were thinking about someone that could create something that it honestly had never been done before, your background and your experience, and you were at Ralph Lauren at the time, just felt like such a great match. And while we didn't work together for more than, I think, a year and a half, you and I stayed in contact. And you're next, when you were running visual merchandising at Gap, I was the vice president of Intermix. So we continued that collaboration. Like, you and I have continued, I'll just call it friendship, mentorship, you know, over the years. And I'm really proud to know you and have you on the show. But I don't know if you want to share any about that experience a decade ago, and then we'll dig into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the first thing I'll say is that I wish we got to hang out at Bonobos longer.
Me too.
But that time that we did have, I absolutely cherish, because you were such a great mentor for me, and leading into something that was like completely new territory for me in doing VM. Former to that, at Barney's and Ralph Lauren, it was very much, I was very young. I was still young at Bonobos, but it was very young, and you kind of had a bit of, you know, you had some more handholding in those roles. But then when I got to Bonobos, it was really, I was the first visual person for the company. And so it was not only, I had to get into my head like, okay, all right, I'm going to do what I know how to do best. I'm going to make these stores, help create these stores, make them look amazing, sell some clothes. But then it was also, there was no infrastructure, you know? It was the first time being in a place where I was challenged to, okay, you have to create the relationships. You got to create the workflow. You have to hire people. You know, you have to train people all on your own, you know? And that was the biggest thing, and your kind of having you in my court was huge.
Thank you. And you're right. I think there are moments in time when you get to capitalize on all the skills you've learned so far in your journey. And you know, it was the same for me, building the infrastructure and kind of HR and store ops and all the rest of the pieces of the puzzle that a great retail company requires, one of which is visual. And I think part of, we'll dig into this further, but when you create something new, capturing feedback along the way? Like, is how do you how are you selling this? What's the customer experience? What's the team experience? How does that all play into decisions that you make in visual merchandising? Because this, and maybe this is kind of where we'll go, is in this, it's also about business. And so take us to Barneys. So you didn't have necessarily the intent to have this career. You studied something different. You showed up as an intern at Barneys with Simon Doonan, a legend, the legend that is. And tell us that experience first.
I was a pretty normal college student. I'd always done, my own creative endeavors. Like, I don't know, you should see the room that I grew up in. It's insane. Just like stuff that I would naturally get out of myself. But then in college, I was an English and communications major. Didn't have a solidified route that I wanted to go. Not that, like, I was in finance and I knew I wanted to be in finance or whatever. But I did know I did like writing. I was I liked poetry a lot, so I got some of that creative outlet through writing. And so I thought maybe move to New York, work for a publication, GQ, Esquire, whatever, be in that environment. But as I was throwing out intern applications, one landed back with Barneys, and I magically somehow got an interview, a very general interview. And at the end, I was like, I think this is going well. And then she was like, okay, great. We got the HR internship open. There's a PR internship open. Oh, and the visual display internship just opened. Someone actually just dropped out. I was like, what is that? I had no idea what visual merchandising was at that time. And she described it to me. I was like, they do the windows and, make the store look good. And I was like, I
Sure.
do that. So I interned, and that really changed my entire path, or it dictated it, because then interned, got a taste of what being creative in a kind of a retail fashion business environment could do. And so I kind of understood the magic of that. And also being that early on at Barney's at the time, that's over 10 years ago, over 15 years ago, around at the cultural relevance that Barney's was, I felt like very lucky. Now looking back on it, it was the height. Simon Doonan, like you said, was always walking around. And just the personalities, it was a great place to start. But I think that the biggest thing was the creative energy there. It was so cool to be around not only other creatives that were doing what I was doing, but I remember when Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen, like way back, they had their first trunk show in Barney's for The Row. And so it was not only being about colleagues at a young age and creating stuff for somewhere that has a big presence in fashion, but it was being around people like that were starting out. And Barney's was known for really realizing new talent.
On top of that, you were developing a skill set that maybe or developing or uncovering a skill set that you didn't really even know you had. Because for you to be at Ralph Lauren, which is one of the most iconic and still to this day impressive visual merchandising organizations in the industry, you were really good at what you were doing.
I hope I was, or some my direct boss.
You wouldn't have been there if you weren't. That I know for sure.
Well, a mutual friend of ours who I think is listening, Zach Dobbins, he was my first direct boss. He hired me at Barney's, and then I followed him at Ralph Lauren. I started at Barney's. I can remember an instance, two instances where, one, I was in a hallway testing out an idea for a display I wanted to do, and I was gluing mannequin hands to a ceiling. And then, like, I was like, no other environment would. And I remember our boss, Dan Powers at the time, walked by me. I was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just playing around. I think I'm gonna do something with these hands. And he's just like, okay. And he walked by. It's like, when else would you get that? So Barney's was pure creative energy. And I was like in the dumpster a lot, making garbage into gold. And so, but then there was something towards the end of my time there, which again, I was fortunate enough to have that relationship with Zach and move to Ralph Lauren, is that I did want to start to learn more of like the formality of visual merchandising, because I knew that, VM in a retail atmosphere heavily can rely on creativity and the image you make for your vendors and a brand. But I didn't really understand the business behind it. So I found the going to Ralph Lauren very attractive because of that, because it was so established, like you said. And I thought it was the perfect transition, because then I could now channel the creativity that I was developing at Barney's, but then have it within, let's say, I'll use quotes, like a controlled atmosphere, and no VM role is that controlled. But I think the big thing there is then I was learning how to interpret and channel creative energy into a company's brand vision, that you're not just being creative to be creative. Simon Doonan said to me while I was doing something random in a window display, it's like, you got to remember, we're not making art, we are selling clothes. And so that lesson, while it was being ingrained in me by Simon at Barney's, it was really ingrained in me at Ralph Lauren. It's like, we're gonna sell our lifestyle and therefore clothes, knowing that every partner, especially visual, because he's huge on the brand image, every partner is firing off knowing what the brand image is. And so that was a huge thing to learn that I take away through in anything, understanding what the brand vision is. And that's a bit of psychology to get used to first in VM.
No doubt. And so how do when you think about those that time, so you're kind of given full, in many cases, kind of expressive freedom, gluing hands to the ceiling, just anything, thinking of anything crazy to a brand that has a very specific, point of view. And I think that's also part of a visual merchandising career, which we're going to talk about, is it isn't always about Brandon's opinion or Brandon. It's about delivering on the vision of a company or Mr. Lauren himself, like whatever that looks like. How did you balance that skill set?
Yeah, I think though, for any creative, whether wherever they're going, if they're going in-house somewhere, that in-house team they're hiring, I think that they are first knowing that they are hiring somebody that is creative, right? They have their own thing. But then second, I think they're realizing also that, that they can operate a little bit too. And so how I balanced that and was fortunate enough at the environment at Ralph Lauren is that I think that Ralph Lauren embraced everybody as being creatives first. Like, they you have something that is great. Did it wasn't necessarily lined up to 100% Ralph Lauren. I don't think I necessarily was, but they realized that. And any great company should realize that first of their individuals that they hire. So that is one. But then two is that really understanding that you can still have your personality come out a little bit within anywhere, like Ralph Lauren. So I was on the downtown creative team with Zach. And so we were allowed to kind of push it a little bit, but still within the framework of what Ralph Lauren brand vision was. And so for that, I was fortunate that we didn't have to be one way all the time. And so we got to kind of push the outer limits of what Ralph is kind of more known for, but in a different way. So it's not like we were doing something out from left field. We were maybe even adding to the visual vernacular. And while I say that, it was always the difference of there's the downtown creative team that I was on and Zach led, and then there's the uptown, which was the uptown team was that's where the mansion is, and that being a part of that team was something entirely different. I was never a part of that, but obviously I had friends up there, and that was like true, like the closest to something perfect that you can actually be a part of, and so. There's a benefit to both. knowing that side of things, like the perfection, like dripping with like luxury. And then there's the other side. It's like, oh, we're here to also promote that, but advance it a little bit. And so I think that Ralph Lauren really allowed us to do that.
But yeah, it's such a New York iconic conversation to kind of differentiate uptown from downtown and different expressions and understand. It's the one of the key foundations of successful retail is know who your customer is. Like, how do they dress? They dress differently uptown, downtown. They shop differently. They maybe are with friends versus family. There's a variety of different ways to think about brands. But let's zoom out, because I would assume like Gap has very same like incredible brand Moose Knuckles. Like, these brands have perceptions of who they are, and you're just executing and bringing that further along. But if we zoom out and think about the visual merchandising creative roles as an industry, I think we're at a different time today. And I think that there's this kind of expectation of results over creativity. Sometimes it's what you see outside of kind of a Bergdorf. You see a lot of, we are here to sell and to make money off of this. So what's your perception of where we sit today?
Yeah, I think that it's a lot of different factors. Social media, I think that what maybe I grew up in doing in let's say traditional visual merchandising, I think that it's a part of everybody who does VM, but I think that it's slightly moving forward. I do think that the huge part of this is that one, budgets are always tight. So I think VM is being consolidated a lot more. There are, I think, still a lot of like entry level, mid senior level roles that are definitely true VM, but I think that they're collapsing roles to be more all-encompassing experiential. That is, VM is not just its own separate entity. It is a part of store experience. And that would have to do with more like pop-up experiential displays, and things of that nature. So, this idea that social media has, I think that has gamified fashion a little bit, meaning that a lot of the attention for a brand, and I realized too, I'm just getting from my phone, and then I can, oh, cool, I saw that. I'm going to go wherever to buy this. So a lot of the attention is being drawn on social media. And so in store, I find it now, especially more, it's relevance. It's like maybe I don't have to do the bells and whistles in the window right now, but maybe all I have to do is be super connected to our marketing team, and I'm putting just what the customer wants to see on a mannequin or on a form at the right time, the right tagline, or the right marketing. And that for me, I think, is especially what people are needing. And especially if you know, the powers that be, they're dictated by numbers, that's the relevance. And being super quick to change to that relevance, I think, is huge for VM now. In general, though, I think if like there's that kind of mid sector, but then if you're luxury, I feel like the luxury sector is always going to blow it out of the world, and they're always going to look great. They're always going to be dripping. But then you have fast fashion too, and Uniqlo, Zara, which I think then it's one hand you're going to get that true expression of true experience and traditional VM, and then on the other hand you're going to get that really like you put your head down and you're really grinding it out on the VM game, because it's massive quantities you have to get through, massive calendars with a lot of product you have to get through. So I do think obviously VM will never go away, because it's always needed for a brand vision. But I do think for a lot of VM roles, it's moving to more of an experiential, like a holistic view of what creative is.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, Brandon. A couple of brands come to mind that I think fall into that category, like a Nike Local. And so you take it and say, here's just a couple thousand square feet. of just our best sellers in these zip codes. There's one here in Miami, and Brickell was actually in it this week because I'm always curious of like, well, what's different here? What are you selling versus, us, a Nike flagship in Soho? And say the merchandising is different, the product is different, it feels very local, or like an RH, and that brand that has evolved, and that's pure experience. And yes, there's merchandising, but the teams in those stores are creating this kind of aspirational environment that is fully immersive. And those are, every brand that's thinking that way is doing a really nice job connecting to their client in new ways.
So it's like I was walking by what I would call back in the day, or now still too, a window that was like a, it's like a tertiary window. It was like one that's off a side rail, let's say. And normally you would just put in, like a form. You have something in the background, maybe like a riser or something with stacked product. And I saw that and I was like, unfortunately, I thought, which is weird for me because I grew up on building those standards and understanding that. It's like, oh, that feels like not relevant at all. I know it's not maybe the front center window, but like it doesn't seem doing that doesn't seem it seems like a literal space filler, which serves a purpose. But again, going back to the relevance, the connectivity, and being a part of the social media that's creating a conversation, I think that's where VM is connecting more to the overall experience.
And maybe it is less about the window, or maybe and more about the marketing images, or more like branding becomes the piece, not the creative outlet. But I guess my follow-up to that is really in the skills that you've learned over the last 20 years, and you're translating into your own business. But whether you're doing a cannabis business, home furnishings, apparel, accessories, the list goes on. A lot of what you learn are transferable. And I think when you consider careers in visual merchandising or creative roles, you also have to lift your head up and say, well, maybe I've only done apparel, but I could do other things. I could figure out how to, I remember you were doing some like home furnishing merchandising for different things. And I think that there's this idea of continue to craft your skills and then apply it across multiple venues. How does that feel for you today?
It feels good because the I've been I was lucky enough to have the experience to go through a lot in VM. And for me, VM is not just one thing. It's kind of like you have to have comprehension over multiple aspects of the total process of VM, but then be an expert of one or two things. And because of that nature of what visual merchandising has allowed me to do, it's like you have to be steeped in all the processes. Like one is the psychology behind listening and understanding a brand identity. That's like first. You have to know what you're doing, or else you're just making things to look pretty for no reason. You have to understand and soak that in. And so, but the biggest thing I realized over time from my experience is that early on, again, gluing hands to a ceiling, pure creativity. But then later, especially at Bonobos, and especially going to bigger roles at, Moose Knuckles and Gap, and as a VP at Brooks Brothers, it's like there is so much more to just the pure creativity. It is how to operate, how to communicate. And I do think that a lot of creatives, it doesn't come as naturally, but there's a ton of people who are amazing at it. But it's to know the operations to get your ideas created. So it's always kind of, as a creative, if you're starting, it's like, yeah, start with what you want to do, how you see the floor plan going, how the windows going, where's, the floor or whatever. And then you have to really own up and train yourself that to do that, there are operations and steps to make that happen. And so that came slowly over my time of since Bonobos, really understanding that. Meaning that transferring to new industries like cannabis, especially, is that I think that everybody wants in a new industry the expert on what they're being brought in to do, but then that expertise goes out the window if you don't know how to do any of it. So it's like
You can't get the work done.
Yeah.
Work through people, right?
Absolutely. So specifically in the canvas world, it's like the wild, wild west. I thought retail fashion was crazy and store openings and flipping things and just getting things done. Cannabis is like times 10 of that. And so to be able, the transferable skill is really that that internal confidence of knowing process first. That actually hit me first when understanding the what was ahead for the cannabis company I was doing work for. And then came in now, okay, I know how what needs to get done. And then really for me at that specific moment in cannabis, it was a lot of creating a new standard. There was not a standard at all for how things were laid out. And so that's the point where the creativity came in, you know? And so it's, yeah, having that confidence of how to operate and then meshing that where the right moment comes in for where the creativity is. And similar
that
to-
That makes a lot of sense.
I've been doing in for styling and furniture. It's kind of like, can have all the creativity of how to lay something out. But it's about the psychology of understanding what the output is. It's not the same as doing a window display or an interior display or anything. Photo shoots is the same, but very different. And so it's the psychology of understanding people and understanding the goal, which was the, you know, a huge skill that travels across any industry.
Yeah. And I think in the spirit of the show, you know, being about the front line and Frontline Fridays, one thing I admire about you and many of the people that I've worked with that were visual merchandising experts is that you're a teacher. And people, what I love, you know, often people that are joining the retail industry, they're really hungry to learn visual merchandising. And like they want to be around you, they want to soak in your knowledge, they want to learn merchandising, because in some ways it's sexier than selling. It might be sexier than, you know, organizing the stock room. And so they really want to learn. And that's in the idea of maybe some of the senior roles of visual merchandising that are gone, we have to still teach people how to do this.
Yeah.
Like that's our responsibility. And I know you do that. And so maybe part of the ops is also teaching other people how to do the work.
Yeah, that's always been huge. That again came much, you know, like halfway point of my career and on, is knowing that, again, your work is kind of in a vacuum unless you can start to teach people how to do that, and therefore you can scale your work. So again, that big skill in addition to true creativity and VM is talking about how to do something that comes, I think, very natural for a creative with their hands. It separates one individual that's what they do, and they can do that. But once you start kind of trying to teach that to somebody else, it's a completely different skill. I've taken a lot of pride in doing that. And that came at a lot of practice. You know, it's a lot of store openings, a lot of new people that are hungry to understand visual, because a lot of people love doing visual, and a lot of practice of just talking in front of, you know, retail people and kind of geeking out over the wording of how to describe to fold down a shirt. I think people can be overlooked, but like, I'll talk about that for a while. there's not just one way. There are multiple ways to fold down a shirt. And so all those details, I've taken pride in the training and being as specific as possible in the get-go with people, because then they carry your work forward and they carry the brand vision forward. And also they feel they have that confidence, because again, like we said, there's a lot of people who love visual, and it's very gratifying knowing that somebody can be happy by, you know, making a wall look perfect. So,
right. Yeah. And at the same time, we're going to wrap up here in a minute, but at the same time, you're also managing up, because you're also then, there's a lot of people in senior roles that have a lot of opinions about things that they have every right to have an opinion, but they may not have the expertise to recreate something. And I remember you and I joking, because I was at the Gap corporate office in New York, and you were there. We ran into each other, and I think this was 2019, probably 18, 19. And you're like, every meeting we have involves 40 different people. Like, we can't go to a store without an entire, like, massive 20-person tour, and everyone has an opinion about this table of t-shirts. And I just think you're always managing up, you're managing down. It's a really important centering role for a brand.
Yeah, that's a huge part of the challenge of progressing in the game of VM is that you're doing something that maybe comes very natural to you, but you have to sell it and you have to kind of find your way amongst 50 people in front of you. And so one thing I've always found is that like you it's relationships. You find your people within that sector and not only like connect with them in like not in a superficial way, but like I've always managed. And I mean, like you, I don't think it's like finding not only just a colleague, but also someone that I align with, you know, like a friend. And so that's always been a tactic of mine also. It's just like, just find your people, you know, there's going to be some scary people. There's going to be some egos, but then find your people. And then you can really have more confidence navigating a creative environment that is led by a very fast-paced calendar, you know?
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
one thing.
Would you give that, if you think about just advice to people that are that you've given that are want to have careers in visual merchandising, what are your words of wisdom that you share with them?
Yeah, it's a lot of what maybe we've just touched on. It's like one, I think that having perspective, so have your own, develop your own creative endeavors, whatever it may be, and document it and be passionate about it, like really nerd out about it. Research who else is doing this, show it on your Instagram, and document it. And then in parallel of that, like operations, like we're talking about, it's like know how to operate and don't you know push away an opportunity that seems a little bit more logistical because you may think it's like this is not for me, but it's gonna help you in the end because you have to combine those two. And when you go into an interview about VM, they're gonna want to first understand like oh, this person has have their thing, their creative thing. But then if it's all that, it's out the window because you need to have the
You're right.
confidence.
You're right.
Just
And the results to back it up. You know, a good question in an interview for people joining, well, what have you done that had a positive impact on sales and what happened? Like, that's a pretty normal question. And if you can't answer that, then you're right. You may not be the right person for it. It's not the Barney's window. It's, you know, we're selling clothes, like Simon Doonan said.
exactly.
Yeah. Well, this has been a pleasure, Brandon. I'm so proud of you and your success, and no doubt you and I will continue to connect and collaborate and share stories. And I'm excited of this next adventure you're going on your own, which didn't really even talk about today, but I think you have an incredible talent, and I'm excited to watch it grow.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks a lot for staying with me, Ron, and mentoring me over 10 years and you know, bringing us here to your podcast. This is amazing what you do, and I think you're a huge leader within our industry. So I appreciate the
Thank
time
you.
talking.
Thank you. Thanks so much. So I'm going to wrap up here and say that I will be back in 2 weeks on August 2nd with Phil D'Urbano, who's the Chief Leadership and Mindfulness Officer at Ardene and has some really interesting things to share about HR and people in the fast fashion space. I'm looking forward to that. And be sure to follow Ubik on LinkedIn for show details or go to ubik.com. And there's a whole page dedicated to this podcast where you can find every episode and its accompanying video on demand. And if you're on the hunt for next generation communication, micro learning, and task management tools to guide your frontline teams into the future, check out what Ubik can do. Just click the link in the comments. And with that, have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks again, Brandon, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.